The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Well, brethren, God has blessed His people in so many ways. He has also declared to His people what is right and what is wrong. He also has laid out an objective He wants us to follow, to have a future with Him and His Son, and He lays that out through the pages of His Bible. See, God's very own Son also has done a lot more than we could ever imagine. He is always there for us. He always shows us the right way to walk, to show us how to have true happiness and to be able to please God, setting the right example for us and the world to follow. The Word of God can be profitable to the world. In many cases of the Christian community, they can learn how to follow basic Christian biblical principles. And one of the basic principles that they like to follow is the importance of giving to others in need. But however, they use their own logic in defining good and evil in their decision making. I mean, after all, look at the upcoming season that is coming. Many professing Christians will give more within this month or within the next couple weeks than they probably will give all year. But however, their own logic, they defined what is good and what is evil. But God has chosen us to understand a better way of life, to learn His truth by giving us His Holy Spirit. What God is doing is He's giving us and showing us how to have certain responsibilities. So what are we doing with these responsibilities that God gives us, and are we living up to them? Turn with me, if you would, to the book of John. John, chapter 8. Jesus here is talking to the scribes and Pharisees who brought a woman caught in the act of adultery, and Jesus challenges them, and He basically tells them he throws the first stone, you know, or who has not sinned, you can throw the first stone, and they kind of all backed away. And Jesus asked her, you know, well, who condemned you? And He made the comment, you know, I don't condemn you, just go and sin no more. But in verse 12 is where I'd like to start. In John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, then Jesus makes this profound statement. He says to them again, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. See, the true believer is one who is going to follow God's word and remove himself from the ways of the world, avoiding the pitfalls from walking in arrogance, wickedness, and misery. They obediently follow God's law, and they shall have their life manifested in the examples of Jesus Christ. They closely humble and steadily follow the word of God, seeking out its meaning. They don't seek out what they want the scriptures to become. They seek the meaning of what God says it is, having the desire to live it to the fullest. And they do it with such enthusiasm and passion, allowing Jesus Christ to live in them and to shine in their life to where they become lights to the world. Actually, they reflect Jesus Christ because He is the true light. Now turn with me to John 12. In John 12, in verse 45 and 46, it says, and he that sees me sees him that sent me. So if we recognize Jesus Christ, we will know who God the Father is. He says, I am come as a light into the world, that whosoever believe on me shall not abide in darkness. So Jesus is saying He is the light, and He reveals all understanding to His people, purifies them from the wickedness of Satan. And many times, we may find ourselves in ruts to where we need help to get out of the mess that we might have put ourselves in. But what does Jesus tell us? He says to always seek His light so we can see our error, we can repent, and come back to God. So today, brethren, I would like to focus on some responsibilities, some points to help us to have encouragement to walk in the light of Jesus Christ. But before we can walk in His light, we must be able to identify something. Are we hearers of the word and just believe the word? Or do we actually take that in and become doers of that word? So let's see how well we reflect the light of Jesus Christ in our life. The first point is true saints allow God to build His foundation in them. See, without a foundation, there is nothing. They hear what God says, and they do what He commands. Let's turn to Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 47, it says, "Whosoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show him who he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid a foundation on a rock. And when the floods rose and the stream beat violently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock." See, that rock is Jesus Christ. It is what we are to let God build us on. We are to grow in the grace and knowledge, digging deep into the words of God, becoming like one with God. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 9. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 9, and verse 10. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and thy years of thy life shall be increased." So we have to learn to have proper fear and respect of God before we can actually learn godly wisdom. Because all the knowledge that we can obtain is actually futile to God until we learn how to apply godly fear and reverence. And as we learn to please God, He then takes control of our life and blesses us beyond any imagination. So without proper fear and foundation, nothing will be able to stand the test of time. The second example is God's people are to constantly focus their worth ethics on biblical principles, showing an example of godly ethics to others, being a light for others to follow. See, we are commanded, whatever our hand finds to do, we are to do it with all of our might. It doesn't mean that we are to do it at the world standards. We do it with God or by God's standards. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. In the book of Matthew chapter 5, picking up in verse 13. Matthew 5, verse 13. It says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, where then shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men." Now, we all know that salt can be used many ways. It can be used as a preservative, or it can be used as a season or a flavor enhancement. But we, as God's people, are to be preserved from corruption. Because if we lose our moral compass of God's law, we serve no purpose to God. We are then going to be worthless. But in verse 14, dropping down, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that is in the house." So what Jesus is saying, we need to make our lives very personal to God. The same way that He had a very emotional, intimate relationship with His Father, to where God makes us His candles that shine in the world, showing the power of His law and glorifying Him through our obedience. In 16 it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So brethren, when we produce proper works in our life, it glorifies God, while improper works are always going to glorify man. Let's turn now to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and picking up in verse 33. Luke 11:33, it says, "No man, when he hath lit a candle, puts it in a secret place." We just read something similar to that. "Neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light." So he's saying that Jesus is the light of the world, and He did not hide that light. It shone bright on every being. But only a few accepted what He had to say. And so many willfully were blinded by their light and did not want to be illuminated by Him. And today we live through the same circumstances. The majority of mankind wants nothing to do with God. They roam on this earth in darkness, unwilling to be illuminated by the power of Jesus Christ. Dropping down to verse 34, it says, "The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is single, the whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is evil, the body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in you be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give you light." See, are we keeping our eye focused on God? Because where our focus is, our course and direction is in our sight. See, God gives us His law so we may know how to receive the goodness of His blessing in the process of comparing our lives with Jesus Christ. See, can we identify our sins through our faults? And through God's Holy Spirit, we can, because we can go to God and repent. If our eye is fixed singly on God, our mark and our aim is going to be on God. And while we do this, we gain wisdom. We'll be full of wisdom, understanding, and have a happier life. As we just read verse 34, when it talks about the eye, it kind of reminds me of a mirror in one sense, illuminating light from a room. When we stray away from God's way of life, our light can become extinguished. We're not as bright because we're off center or off just a little bit. But as long as we remain focused on God, we can keep our eye on Christ and be what God commanded us, lights to the world. But when we begin to see double, we become unstable in our ways. We're moving back and forth, returning, leaving, returning, relieving, back to our own nature and removing ourselves from the presence of God. The next point is God's people are versed in God's word, living in righteousness of God, leaving their past behind, only seeking their future. See, we come together on the Sabbath day to learn and to study God's word. That's what we come to do, to praise God. But are we just as eager to study at home and to demonstrate it in our own personal life? Man shall not live by bread alone, but from every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, Matthew 4:4. So go with me right now to John, 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, and let's pick up in verse 8. It says, "A new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shines. He that says he is the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness, and walks in darkness, and knows not whither he goes, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." So we have committed ourselves to follow God through all courses of our life. That's what we committed to at baptism. We are to be lovers and givers, compassionate to others, to take care of those in need. See, there have been many who have come before us, who have sacrificed and paved the way for us to learn about God's way of life, whether it's through booklets, magazines, TV programs. They paved the way, but sadly, some of those people have given up and gone back into darkness for whatever reason. They have lost their focus. They've lost the future. We need to know God's word so well that we can make our decision. We need to know God's word so well that before we can make our decision, we already know what the answer we need to do is going to be. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And picking up in verse 6, it says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts and give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is kind of reminds me a little bit of what we've been studying the last couple weeks. God spoke and it existed. He calls us and places his Holy Spirit in us. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And that treasure is God's Spirit in us, and we are his temple. That through these vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despaired. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Why is this, brethren? It's because God is with us, because we are always with God. Always bearing about the body the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So, brethren, we cannot live a godly way of life if we do not know what the Bible says. We cannot make anything holy, and we cannot decide what is best for us, because God has already declared that, what is good and right. One of the things that kind of intrigued me is, have you ever talked to other members of the church who might have been in the church for a long time, and for some reason, they just don't really talk a lot about God's way of life? They come, they do their things, and then they leave. And I've known some people that when they take off from work for the holy days or whatever reasons, they don't want to really discuss why they're taking off. They just take it off as personal time. And I've always wondered, could it be that they really don't understand the book very well to be able to answer these questions in a godly manner on the hope that lies in them? See, we must not be afraid to speak out when we're asked. That's what God expects us to do. Which moves it into our next point. God's people never compromise God's law. They will sacrifice everything to stay true to God's word. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and picking up in verse 6, it says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not therefore partakers with them." So we can see that sin begins with our thoughts or emotions in our life, and we need to remove all doubts and lustful desires from our mind. Because as long as we have human emotional feelings, we can be tempted. Dropping to verse 8, it says, "For you were sometimes darkness." And this is before we were called by God. "But now you are lights of the world, walking as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." So what that is saying is we need to put them to the test and expose it for what it is, bringing the proof and its intentions by using God's Holy Spirit and the knowledge of God. We are to set the right example to the world. But pure evil, brethren, we need to flee from. We must know the difference when we are to stay and instruct and when we need to flee. In verse 15, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly," or carefully, "not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." And every day, brethren, we can see on the news or wherever we might watch current events, we see society becoming more crazy and crazier, running rampant in the streets. But brethren, we shouldn't be afraid because God is our protector. What we need to do is to steadily improve every moment that we may have, living in the likeness of Jesus Christ, redeeming the time that others have thrown away. See, once time goes by, it's lost forever. And we need to realize how precious time is for us in the learning ability and the preparation for the kingdom of God. Therefore, let's buy it up and use it wisely so we may understand what is the will of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians 6, and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, "Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for that fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" Now, I've had some people that I've talked with also says, well, basically what this is associating with is people outside of the church. Well, some people believe that it does. But what does it really say? To be an example, yes, we may be in the world, but we're not to be of the world. And the example for others is we're to be the examples for others to follow. And we must have certain moral values and understanding and be able to define what is good and evil in the eyes of God. See, a Christian is to promote and to esteem others and to pull them up to a higher level than we are living. If we hang around people who knowingly break God's law, we will probably compromise it ourselves. If we hang around people who steal, we will probably take up that habit because we are walking in their direction instead of God's. As verse 16 says, "And what concord or harmony hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he believed with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." God cannot walk in us or with us if we are going at a different direction he has commanded us to follow. Which moves us to our next point, that true believers never miss the opportunity to be together. Psalms chapter 133, a memory verse for us all. Psalms 133 and verse 1. It says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." See, we are to rejoice in one another's company. Are we truly rejoicing today? It is the delighting in each other, having mutual endearments, and promoting each other's welfare and mutual services. See, God has chosen us to understand and to show us a better way of living so we can have the opportunity to engage in those certain responsibilities that he gives each and one of us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, "I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of your vocation, or our calling, wherewith we were called." We are to walk in an orderly fashion, one that is right and just in the eyes of God, allowing God's Holy Spirit to guide and to move according to his will. "With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring," we're always making an effort to study, to follow God with the best of our ability, to keep the unity of the spirit of bond and peace. See, all of these things cannot be done by our own strength. It takes the faith of God, but it also takes his Holy Spirit to guide and to direct us. Having blind faith, or what we would call wishful thinking, only destroys peace and unity in the body, because we're not seeking God, we're seeking of a different type of hope, one that's coming from man, not from God. See, there are only two types of peace or unity. You have man-made, or you have God's, which will always be the foundation. And as long as that foundation is strong, we will always be faithful to him. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Picking up in verse 6. It says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not have the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. So we need to make our actions justly and our answers with authority, so others know where we stand. We may be able to hide behind the truth for a while, but eventually it will be known by others where we stand. Is it going to be on Christ the rock, or will we be on sifting sand? Our next point is God's people are always giving glory to God for the blessings that he continually gives them. Let's go back to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 30. Psalms chapter 30, and picking up in verse 12. Psalms 30, verse 12, it says, "To the end that my glory may sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto you forever." See, God commands our praise to him. He is praiseworthy, and his mercy endures forever. Are we remembering to thank God for all the blessings that he gives us as a person, as a congregation, a church at large, and the blessing of what he has given to our nation that we can live in peace? See, as our country may be falling apart around us, God is giving us the education to make ourselves ready to receive his son. And brethren, are we taking full advantage of it? See, the world has been blinded and their minds seared from the gospel of God. The example that we set today might be the light that God is using to open someone's mind where God can work with them and they can glorify God. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, it says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourself your saints for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give light to the knowledge, to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews 13, and picking up in verse 15, it says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." See, as Jesus was our sacrifice for life, we are to become living sacrifices to God, ready to give our life as it pleases God, yet thanking him for the foundation he is building in us to where we can become like him and walk like him and to be part of his family. In verse 16 it says, "But to do good and to communicate, don't forget it, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." See, we are to be going on doing the things that God requires us, to give to one another, to serve one another, to love one another, because God is well pleased with those types of offerings. We are not to be like other, if you want to say, religious organizations that speak out and tries to prove to their faithfulness through traditions or to receive or to want to give but seekingly to get something back in return. We're not supposed to be that type of people. God wants genuine praise from us, not just orchestrated actions. We need to know and to be able to tell the difference of what God will accept and what he does not. Another example is we can think of the story of Cain and Abel. The last point that I have is God's people are special to him. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and picking up in verse 9. It says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So, brethren, are we walking in the light of Jesus Christ, reflecting his righteousness? See, God separated physical Israel from the rest of the people of the earth, that they might worship him, the true God. But they wanted to go to idols and worship them, become an abomination by following the Gentile world. See, we are purchased, and we are privately owned, and we belong to God. He has made us his special people unto himself, above all the people on the face of the earth. Doesn't mean we're better. It just means that the rest of the world will come later, but God has given us certain responsibilities to hold, to be the light of the world. We were called to the state of salvation, out of darkness, of idolatry, superstition, and ungodliness, into God's marvelous light. So how are we doing? Are we the people that God has chosen us to be? See, we are to exhibit in our life the holiness of God, allowing our life to be the beacon of light, transforming our life into the image of God, and walking as Christ himself walked. As verse 11 says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul." If we haven't figured it out by now, brethren, we are strangers and pilgrims in a foreign land. This world is not ours. It belongs to Satan. What though are we achieving in this world that is against God? Is it the examples that we are setting to magnify Jesus Christ in our life? Is it pleasing God? Is it declaring his truth, his holy days, the plan of salvation? Brethren, what are we achieving in our own personal life that pleases God? See, with all of the blessings that God has given to us, his law, his mercy, love, truth, holy days, Sabbath, each other, the Bible, his word, and the list goes on and on and on. Everything, all the blessings that God has given us, are we truly thankful for that? Are we being, brethren, the light that Jesus has commanded us to become? Because, brethren, the last thing we ever want to hear come from the mouth of Jesus when he returns back to this earth, say to us, "After all the blessings, all these responsibilities that I have given to you, is this the best you can give me? I have given you my word to learn from, but you wanted to do other things than to learn of my way. You said you were committed to me. When I needed you to shine, you turned away. What were you thinking? Because it was not of me." Brethren, our life is short, and we need to take advantage of God's word and find ways to apply it in our life daily. Not just waiting, thinking, "Well, we'll remember it when we need it." Jesus lives his life every day in us if we allow it. And he lived it to the fullest when he walked this earth. We are to do the same. The words that we want to hear come from Jesus' mouth is, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in fulfilling my instructions." For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.